Relationships are always worth restoring. It's always worth it to reach out. It's always worth it to start again. It's worth it to apologize. It's worth it to forgive people. It's worth it not to give in to bitterness. And this is very hard. It's very hard, especially doing this with the people we live with, the people we work with. Sometimes after a while, we realize, I don't even like that person. And that's why I might not even be giving them eye contact, because eye contact is a very intimate thing. It's a sign of goodwill. Relationships are always worth restoring. So how do we get back to that time, to that point in a relationship where we're really happy to see the other person, where our faces light up, there's this big smile, big eyes, very warm voice? Jesus says at the end of tonight's gospel, he says, if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So washing feet, it's fundamentally, it's a symbol of Jesus dying for us. So he empties himself out on the cross, and when he washes our feet, when he washes the disciples' feet, he's emptying himself. And we're supposed to do the same thing by constantly trying to reach out and renew, restore our relationships. So how do we get there? How do we get back? I want to offer you four realities from today's gospel that will help us restore, attempt to restore our relationships. So reality number one, it always starts with God the Father. The text tonight says, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. So tonight is Jesus' hour. He goes back to the Father. And tonight's also our hour. And this is the time that God has arranged for us to come here tonight and receive Jesus in a spiritual communion so that we can reach out and start restoring relationships. Every aspect of our life, every event of our life is always foreseen by God. But tonight is a very special night. It's the hour to go to the Father, and then we can reach out to our brothers and sisters. Reality number two, we are powerful in Christ. We're not helpless. We're very powerful. So the text says, during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, etc. So Jesus has this incredible knowledge, this full awareness that the Father's put everything into his hands. So everything that's happening is happening because he's allowing it to happen. So he's powerful. He's not helpless. He's not a victim. And in the same way, none of us are victims. Because of our baptism, we're united with Christ, and we have power to change our behavior. Sometimes we feel like we have no other choice. You know, sometimes you have your emotions, and we instinctively think, we don't think this consciously, but we feel, well, what else do you want me to feel? Of course I'm annoyed. How else can I feel? Of course I'm bitter. Of course I'm frustrated. Actually, that's not true. We do have a choice. You know how, and this happens to all of us, you know how sometimes you might be into an argument with someone and our voice is raised and someone shouts, well, fine. And then you say, well, fine. Then your phone rings. Hey, how's it going? We change our behavior right away. Because we're made in Jesus' image, we are free moral agents. You can choose. We can choose. We're powerful. And because we're united with Christ in our baptism, we have his power. His power is available for us to change our behavior. Reality number three, the confession of sins. Jesus says, one who has bathed, does not need to wash except for the feet. One who is bathed. So what does the bathing refer to? It refers to our full bathing in baptism. So when we get baptized, we wash away all of our sins. So Pope Benedict, he suggests this. If the full bathing refers to baptism, what does the washing of the feet refer to? He says it refers to confession of sins, because after you get baptized, you always still have to wash your feet. You have to confess your sins. So our sins, they're always blinding us. Our sins make us think, in our relationships, the other person's always the problem. Because of our sins, we always forget, well, we've got our own problems. And our sins also, they separate us from the source of our life. They separate us from Jesus. So we need to confess our sins. And if you think you can restore your relationships without confessing your sins, good luck. Now, there's no such thing as luck, but good luck anyway. Now, tonight we are celebrating, one of the gifts we're celebrating tonight is the institution of the priesthood. So on Holy Thursday, Last Supper, Jesus instituted the priesthood. The priesthood is about spiritual fatherhood. And so we go to priests, our spiritual fathers, who can forgive our sins in the name of Christ. So if you're able to, in the next few days, if you're able to go safely to confession, please do. And if you want, you let us know. Do you want us to do drive-through confession? We're very happy to do it. Today, Father Pierre heard 3.5 hours of confessions. So beautiful. And it was all safe. Now, let's say you're feeling, Father Justin, I do not feel comfortable. I do not feel safe going out right now. Okay, if that's the case, I want you to confess your sins directly to God. Yes, we can do that as Catholics too. Now, if you're wondering, well, if I can confess my sins directly to God, why then would I ever go to confession? I'll deal with that in a minute and read my homily from last November 24th. Reality number 4, Jesus is our example and he is our life. He says this, I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Jesus, give us an example. The example is, he washed the feet of Judas. That's inspiring. Judas was breaking his relationship with Jesus, but Jesus was attempting to restore it. So that's our example, and we should always be attempting to restore our relationships, reaching out to people who have hurt us. But one of the great truths of Christianity is that Jesus is not only our moral example, he is the great example, but he's also what we'd say the source of our life. He actually gives us life to do the right thing. So some philosophers would say, in order to do what's right, all you have to do is know what's right. So if you know what's right, you should do it. But we actually know that's not the case. Sometimes we know what's right and we still don't do it. Why? Because our ability to choose, our spiritual faculty, our will, we call it, that is damaged. And it can't always choose what it knows to be right. So if this spiritual faculty is a bit wounded and it can't do what's right, how do you help it? You need what we call grace. A spiritual help to help a spiritual faculty. So there are two ways we can receive grace. Sacramental communion and spiritual communion. Well, let's unpack that. So sacramental communion is when you receive the Eucharist physically, as we often do, and you understand what you're taking. So it doesn't just mean physical reception, because let's say someone were to take communion and have no idea what it meant. That would be no sacramental communion at all. That's sacramental communion, physical with an understanding. Spiritual communion is also when you receive the sacrament physically, but you also desire to receive a lot of grace. So tonight we're celebrating the priesthood, but we're also celebrating when Jesus gave us the Eucharist for the very first time. And we start thinking, if those are the two kinds of communion, sacramental and spiritual, do we always make a sacramental communion? Because it is possible that sometimes we've just gone up for communion mechanically. We just follow the crowd. We follow the line up to the altar rail. Or we've never even made a spiritual communion, because yes, we know what we're receiving, but we have no desire to receive. And if you have no desire to receive God's love, his grace, his power, you won't get it. Why? Because of free will. Because God will not force you to change your behavior. He will offer it, but if you don't desire it, we won't get it. Now, on the other hand, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that we can receive the grace of communion. We can make a spiritual communion. He says we can even do that when we don't have the physical sacrament. So St. Maximilian Kolbe, he said, at times, spiritual communion brings the same graces as sacramental. Spiritual communion can bring the same graces as sacramental. How? Based on desire, because God will honor our desire. We want to receive, he will give it to us. So there's this spiritual writer named Vinnie Flynn. He has such a good insight. He says, I used to think of spiritual communion as a consolation prize. I can't get physical communion today at daily mass, so I'll opt for the consolation prize. But St. Maximilian Kolbe says, at times the same graces can come. And that's why St. Francis de Sales would make a spiritual communion every 15 minutes a day. Wow. He was so hungry And when you're hungry, God will fill. So if this is the case, we can get a spiritual communion tonight, and that's what Jesus is offering all of us. We can get a spiritual communion. So why bother if, when things go back to normal, why bother even making the physical communion when we have that opportunity? And the reason is because we're physical beings, right? So right now, in this time of social distancing, we can love each other profoundly. We can still love each other, but when the time comes when we end the social distancing, we're meant to be together physically, right? Of course. So if someone were to say, you know what, Father Justin, I'm satisfied now confessing to God directly now that you've told me I can, and I am going to do spiritual communion every day. I don't even have to take physical communion. That's like getting married on Zoom and then never moving in with your spouse. And that just won't work. Later on today, during tonight's Mass, let's make that spiritual communion prayer. And I'm going to make it even when I receive physically. And you can make it too, and you can receive just as much grace if you desire it. And also, if you're looking for other versions of the spiritual communion prayer, there's so many out there, just Google it and find the prayer that really helps you desire to receive everything that Jesus wants to give you. Two final stories. I remember driving with a friend, and my friend was mad at his father. And we're driving, we're talking about Jesus' example and how it's the right thing to reach out, to take the initiative. So we got to his house, we pulled up, and I remember him saying, I'm so mad, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to go in there, I'm going to apologize to my dad because it's the right thing to do. And then he walked out the car, he went right in there, and I was so inspired because he's trying to imitate Jesus' example. And my friend's example inspired me. So Jesus is our example. Second story. I remember hearing a story told by a priest, and he said he didn't like his bishop. And he said he was wrestling with the Holy Spirit one day when the bishop was greeting all these people in a line, and it's traditional Catholic custom where you would kiss the bishop's ring out of respect. And so on the one hand, he doesn't like his bishop. And on the other hand, he's feeling that the Holy Spirit is saying the right thing to do is to show respect. So kiss his ring. And so he has this internal struggle. And the bishop comes, he approaches him, and he's thinking, oh, I don't want to do it. And he said he felt a force on his back push him over, and he kissed the bishop's ring. And what is that? It's not just Jesus' example, it's Jesus' power. Living in that priest and forcing him, helping him, really, because the priest was open. The priest was open to doing God's will, and that power allowed him to do the right thing. Relationships are worth restoring, and there are four realities that are going to help us. Number one, it all starts with God the Father. Number two, we are powerful in Christ. We're not helpless. We can change our behavior. Number three, we're going to confess our sins first before we reach out. And number four, Jesus is our example and our life.